I read this morning. If a train station is where the train stops, and a bus station is where the bus stops, is a work station where the work stops. Far too often, right? I was channeling my inner Eric Ramis this morning. Someone texted me that this morning that their wife had a baby, and I finally just texted, "Congratulations, that's wonderful." But a part of me, you know, again channeling my inner Eric Ramis, thought if she could only have waited till tomorrow to have a baby on Labor Day, that'd be a fun play on words there. I didn't. I just said, "Congratulations, that's wonderful." But anyway, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Boy, we need God. I'll just talk today about waiting on God. Waiting on God. Boy, it's kind of the opposite. You think of Labor Day and working and making it happen. And today, instead, it's not about trying harder. This message will be more about trusting more. Less of trying harder, more of trusting more. You can turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. And I'm just going to read this from Psalm 27 while you're there in Genesis 24. Psalm 27, verse 14 says, "Wait on the Lord." Wait on the Lord. Slow down and get your eyes on Him. Wait on the Lord. "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Boy, we can wait on the Lord in prayer. We can spread our case before the God of heaven, looking to Him instead of to our pursuits. Sometimes we look at the things we want to do and we say, "Lord, come along, bless these things." And really we should be looking at Him more, less on our pursuits, more on Him, waiting on the Lord. We must wait in faith as you go along. "Lord, I trust you. Is anything too hard for the Lord?" You're like, "Oh, I love that verse," but we act like He can't help us in the way we live sometimes. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Wait in faith. Express to Him your unstaggering confidence in Him. We must wait in patience. Are you burdened down? Rejoice that you have someone you can go to who is plenty able to help you and enjoys helping you. Today I want to talk about Isaac, an example of waiting on God. In Genesis 24, 63, that'll be my text. Genesis 24, that's a long chapter. Genesis 24, we're looking at verse 63. So there in verse 63, just that first half, that's going to be our text. "And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide." Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. So really, just kind of three things we see in this verse. We're going to look at him as an example of waiting on God. As our example, we notice what he was doing. He was meditating. We notice where he was doing it, in the field, and we notice when he was doing it, at eventide. Isaac, an example of waiting on God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray, I'm excited about what you've given me, Lord, and I'm going to need your help to deliver it. And oh God, I pray that you take it and speak to hearts, and may it be a help. It's already been a help to me, Lord, and I hope that you'd allow it to be a help to these folks in here. Thank you for your precious word. Lord, I do pray that you'd meet with us this morning. Be in the other buildings as well, Lord, as your word is being opened, songs that carry gospel, Bible truth are being sung, games and activities and verses being taught and lessons being delivered and sermons being given. I pray, Lord, that all across this campus, Lord, that you would be uplifted and proclaimed and lives would be helped as a result. Meet with us in here. I ask, Lord, you'd help us as we look at Isaac as an example of waiting on you. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. What was he doing? He was meditating. Where? In a field. And when? At eventide. So I just want to look at some of these ideas where Isaac, right after this, God gives him a wife. So blessings were on their way while he was waiting on God. And you know, you can wait on God. Sometimes we go out to get our blessings. I'm going to go get blessings. I'm going to go find them and I'm going to procure them. I'm going to secure them for myself. And really, that's a life of faithlessness. I'm going to please God and allow him to bring the blessings that he wants to bring into my life. Oh, it's tough sometimes. The devil, he's so good at telling us, if you don't go out and get those blessings for yourself, they'll never be had. But Isaac, he's in a field, and it's verse 63. There's 61 blessed verses of God working behind the scenes to bring him a blessing. And when you can wait on God, and 61, we're going to go through not all 61, but we're going to go through quite a few of them. But again, this is all behind the scenes. God, while he was waiting on God, working on his behalf to bring him a blessing. Oh, and you can wait on God. The devil wants us frantic and fearful. Because then, I can't wait. And we'll jump out ahead of God. We'll take the shortcuts the devil wants to offer to us. And we'll mess everything up. But Isaac goes out into a field. Verse 63. To meditate in the field at eventide. And God, there's 61 blessed verses of God working behind the scenes to bring him blessings as he just waits on God. All right, let's start. We're not going to look at all 61 verses, but so behind the scenes, here we are, Genesis 24, verse 1. Ready? Here we go. Genesis 24, verse 1. That's a long chapter. I hear a lot of page turning back all the way to verse 1. And Abraham, that's Isaac's dad, was old and well stricken in age. And the Lord blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant, presumably Eleazar, the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all things that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. So here, God is working on Isaac's behalf to bring him a blessing. Isaac doesn't really have anything to do with this. God is working behind the scenes on his behalf. Boy, it's a blessing. And you go, and you'll see, it's like, well, I don't know if I want my dad picking my wife. And you'll see that the servant goes and God is the one who makes it clear. God is the one who makes it. We'll see that without a shadow of a doubt. And you go, well, I don't know if I want God picking my wife. He might pick out this super spiritual boring girl. Oh my, I have lived long enough that I would be scared to death if God wasn't picking my wife. Oh my, there's going to be, when God puts that man and that woman together, I know men aren't supposed to like weddings, right? We're supposed to be like, when do we get to the cake? But I love a Christian wedding. When God puts a man and woman together and the potential that's there, here God was working behind the scenes. Let's go down to verse 10. So the servant took 10 camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. He made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, here he begins praying. That's a good thing to do, right? It's always a good thing to do. He begins praying, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of the water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. The prayer is, oh God, would you show us who the right girl is? And again, Isaac has nothing to do with this. This is all happening behind the scenes while he is waiting on God. Boy, this matter required prayer. It was super wise of the servant to ask the Lord for help. This matter of marriage is a huge one. The Bible teaches that marriage is until death do us part. You don't want to play games with marriage. You want to be spending that time with God. And sometimes Pastor Ross last year during, I think it was Empowered Youth, was talking to the young men and the young ladies, less pursuing and more preparing. Less pursuing, more preparing. Prepare to be that right husband. Prepare to be that right wife. And some of that is not running out and making it happen. Some of that is time of meditation. Lord, I want to learn how to enjoy you. When I mature spiritually, Lord, then I'll be ready to be the right type of husband when you show me the right wife for me. More preparing. Verse 15. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. Boy, God loves to answer prayer, doesn't he? That behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, and Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. The damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, came up, and the servant ran to meet her. By the way, the servant is waiting on God. God, I need you to show me what's right. But as soon as God does, he runs. So waiting on God doesn't mean I'm slow my entire life. No, you're afraid to run ahead of God. But once God shows you what he wants, boy, you start running. By the way, there's some running in this chapter. I get winded just all the running in this chapter. The servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran. So she's running around. She's a worker. And ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her. Isn't that fun? The man is just wondering at her. The servant is just kind of in awe. Lord, wow, are you showing me what you want? There's nothing more beautiful than when God shows you what he wants. He's there wondering. Held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Boy, the message really isn't on the servant, but he also is an example of waiting on God. When God shows you what he wants, boy, there's nothing more beautiful. Verse 22. It came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, the man took golden earrings of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hand of 10 shekels weight of gold and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she moreover said unto him, we have both straw and provender enough to and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Boy, he was in the way. He was where he was supposed to be. Boy, there's blessings there. When you are where you're supposed to be, there's blessings there. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. There are places for you not to be. If you find yourself in the wrong place, that's not where God blesses. You being in the way, that's where God wants to bless you. He worshiped. There's much to be said about being in the way, doing what the Lord wants you to be doing. God's blessing is there. I'm glad you're here on a Sunday morning. How faithful are you to a Sunday evening? How faithful are you to a midweek service? When the church gets together and prays and opens God's word. Boy, somebody said, you need all three to thrive. Boy, it's good that you're here this morning. But when the church doors are open, it should be in your heart. Lord, I want to be there each and every time. I need to be there because there's blessings in the way. I don't want to be somewhere where I shouldn't be. In the way, God led me. I, being in the way. Are you in the place you're supposed to be? You being in the way. God will lead you. God will bless you. But you better be in the place God has for you. Verse 28, some more running. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. Let's jump down to verse 32. And the man came into the house and he ungirded his camels and gave straw and provender for the camels and water to wash his feet and the men's feet that were with him. And there was met before him to eat, but he said, there was set meat before him to eat, and he said, I will not eat until I've told mine errand. So this servant, he's persistent about what he knows should be happening. And waiting on God doesn't mean we're slow to act, but it also means that we're not anxious and fretful and tempted to run ahead of what God wants us to do, but we're persistent in what God has for us. Verse 34, and he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he's become great, and hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Let's jump down to verse 40. So he's telling them the story. He says, and he, Abraham told me, before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. And prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Verse 42. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper my way which I go. And he relays the whole story about how God made his will known. Let's go down to verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Verse 58. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Boy, 61 verses of God working behind the scenes on the behalf of Isaac. Part of waiting on God is saying, Lord, I wonder, are you working behind the scenes on my behalf? I already pray for the spouses of my children. I have no idea who they are. But Lord, if you allow my two daughters and my son to get married someday, presumably their husbands and his wife, Lord, they are on this planet already. Would you be looking after them? Would you allow them to just be in love with you? Oh God, won't you just be in love with you? And I, by faith, I have to trust that God is working behind the scenes. I don't see everything. Or I could go and make it all happen. Or they can go and make it all happen. Or we can say, Lord, I trust that you're already working. Would you show me what you are doing? I don't want to step in and make it happen. I want to trust that you are already working behind the scenes. And I don't want to rush ahead of you. I want to be waiting on you. Verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well, Lehairoi. Lehairoi, the meaning, and again, it gives us a hint. The Bible just says he's meditating. He's chewing on thoughts. And you're like, well, we don't even know what he's thinking about. But I think the Bible kind of gives us a hint here. He came from the way of the well, Lehairoi. The meaning of that is the well of the living one who sees me. God sees me. I have a living God who sees me. Boy, we'll get into the meditating here in just a little bit, but Isaac was really glad that God sees. Two chapters earlier in Genesis 22, his dad was standing over him with a knife. And as the knife was coming down, boy, he was really glad. Really glad that God sees. Because an angel of the Lord said, stop! And boy, as the knife was coming down, it was evident that God sees. And that may have been one of the things he was meditating on. I don't know what all he was thinking about. And Isaac came from the way of the well to Lehairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. There's our text. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, camels were coming. Verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil, covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Wasn't that an exciting story? So the servant tells Isaac, hey, I just got to tell you, God showed himself. And can you just see Isaac excited when Isaac sees what God had done on his behalf while he simply waited on God? Verse 67, and Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Boy, it's good. It's so, in this life, don't make things happen. Do the things that God wants. Trust him. And I think there was a, Martha played the invitation a little while ago. And it was that, and I didn't realize how much let go and let God have his wonderful way sounds like, away in a manger, no crib for his bed. So there from the invitation, just a few weeks ago, we're sitting there, church, we're the invitation time, we bow our head, and I think I'm hearing Away in a Manger. Bum, 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 bum. And I'm like, wow, these ladies are so sharp. They pick such good songs for invitation, but I can't for the life of me figure out why. It was the night Brother Schrock was preaching on David. And I'm like, well, okay, Away in a Manger. I guess there we are in Bethlehem. We had a sermon on David, the city of David. I guess that kind of goes together. Pretty soon I realized it wasn't Away in a Manger. It was let go and let God have his wonderful way. Let go and let God have his way. And it's tough, but that's what waiting on God truly is. Let's look at those three things real quickly. Isaac, and of course, as you look in the scriptures, there's other examples of waiting on God, but all this example of Isaac, just waiting on God, letting God have his wonderful way. What was he doing? So the first thing, what was he doing? He was meditating. Let's look at that for a little bit. Part of waiting on God in your life will be to spend that time meditating. Meditating has the idea of ruminating or chewing on something with your mind. Spurgeon said this of this verse, meditation chews the cud and extracts the real nutrients from the mental food gathered elsewhere. The Bible has a lot to say about meditating. It's different than when the world meditates. The world says, clear your mind. And that's kind of dangerous because an empty mind, the devil can move in with some awful things. You don't want to have an empty mind. You want to have a mind that's full of good things. And we'll look at that later on, but full of this. You protect your mind when it's full. The world has it completely backwards. This idea of empty your mind, that's dangerous. It's dangerous. The world thinks they have it figured out. They do not. You meditate God's way. You fill your mind with good things. The Bible reminds us in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Psalm 119 verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will mentally chew on those things that are precious to God. This book is full of things that are precious to him, and I want to make them precious to me. Psalm 119, 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. What you meditate on is what your heart is pitched toward. Boy, there was Lot in the Old Testament, and his heart was pitched toward lower things, the things of Sodom, the earthly things, the worldly things. His heart was pitched, and that was what he meditated on. He chewed on the ideas and the thinkings that emanated from Sodom. Abraham, he was locked on a city, a higher city whose builder and maker was God. His mind was locked on those things. That is what he meditated on. That is what his heart was pitched toward. What are you meditating on today? What gets in the way of what? I want these lower things, and heavenly things keep interrupting what I want. Or I want heavenly things, and oh Lord, help me. As the worldly things come in and try to interrupt my thoughts of eternal things and heavenly things, what is getting in the way of what? What are you meditating on? Life. For the devil says, you better get out there. You better make it happen. Life is passing you by. Get out there. He wants us frantic. He wants us fearful. He wants us taking life by the horns and making things happen. The antitype, the opposite of Isaac, is Jacob. Jacob was the schemer in the Bible. He was not one to wait on God. He was going to make it happen. He was a schemer. He was a supplanter. He was the trickster. I can't wait on God. I got to get out there and make it happen, boy. He schemed to get the birthright. He schemed to get the blessing. And then finally, it took him, he was a life, his was a life of shortcuts. And he takes off, and it takes him 20 years to put a home together. His shortcut cost him 20 years and a life of misery. He was a schemer. He was the one that needed to make it happen. His shortcut that cost him 20 years of his life. Isaac, he just waited on God. And God did for Isaac, behind the scenes, what Jacob decided to do for himself. And it cost him those 20 years. It's so beautiful here. 61 verses of God working behind the scenes. And of course, we mentioned Genesis chapter 22, there where God came to Abraham and said, so two chapters before this, chapter 24, Isaac was a part of that story, wasn't he? God came to Abraham and said, take thou thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest. You're going to go to Mount Moriah and you're going to sacrifice him there. And Isaac became a picture of the Lord Jesus. Even where the wood was placed on his back. And we picture Jesus in the New Testament with the cross placed on his back. And there was Isaac saying to his father, Father, I see the wood. I see the fire. But Dad, I don't see the sacrifice. Little realizing that his father's heart was breaking because he was to be that sacrifice. We think of our Father up in heaven, whose heart was broken as he had to send Jesus to be our sacrifice, to die in our place. The son said, Father, I don't see the sacrifice. And Abraham was acting by faith, wasn't he? He had told the servants, you stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and sacrifice and return. We're both coming back. I don't know how, but I believe God, and we're both coming back because God has made me some promises, and I trust him. So there on the top of Mount Moriah, eventually Isaac comes to realize what's happening, and he's bound, he's placed on that altar, and the father had said, God will provide himself, or Abraham said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. And there, as that knife is about to come down, the angel from heaven says, stop! Now I know that thou dost fear. Yes, Abraham was there. Yes, Jesus says in John chapter 8 that Abraham rejoiced to see my day. He got to watch the gospel in the form of an object lesson unfold. But guess who else was there? Isaac was there. What was he meditating on? Oh, he had just come from the well. The well. Oh, there's a God. There's a living God who sees me. Boy, I think the Bible tells us what he's meditating there on. He got to see the gospel played out in his own life. He was meditating. Boy, the devil, he tries to get us to rush ahead of God. He tries to get us fretful and fearful. I remember my mom had I told the harvesters this yesterday, my mom had a metal pot holder that said, the hurrier I go, the behinder I get. The hurrier I go, the behinder I get. And boy, there's a lot of truth to that. We kind of rush in this life and we scurry in this life when sometimes we just need to slow down and wait on God. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. I think part of hiding God's word in our heart is just chewing on these blessed truths, chewing on them until they get from here down to here and affect who we are. Boy, he was meditating. What was he doing? He was meditating. Where was he doing it? In the field. In the field. I think this is a neat example of there's Isaac, an example of waiting on God. And what's he doing out there in the field? Well, he's meditating. Why the field, though? Well, I think he's out there in God's creation, enjoying the Creator. The Bible says in Psalm 92, verse 4, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the work of thy hands. Just to get out into creation and spend a little time with the Creator. Do you ever get a chance to do that? I think that even this world, it's not really I don't know how, maybe the person that came up with the expression was a Christian, I don't know, but do you ever take time to smell the roses? From the cedar to the hyssop, from the soaring eagle down to the chirping grasshopper, from the blue expanse of heaven to a drop of dew. All things are full of teaching. And when the eye is divinely opened, that teaching flashes upon the mind far more vividly than any written book. Boy, just to step outside and look up and see a fluffy cloud and take time to enjoy it. Can you look up and see the skies and just stop for a moment and say, Lord, what an artistic masterpiece. You are wonderful. The clouds, the creation. It's good to, yes, you can spend that time in a room, but sometimes just to get out of that room and enjoy the Creator for a little while. Romans 1, 19 through 20 tells us, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him are clearly seen. The invisible things of him are clearly seen from the creation of the world. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Boy, to get out and spend time with the Creator and enjoy His creation. I have a watch on my wrist, don't I? It tells me the time. And boy, even with half a brain cell, you would say, that had to have had a designer. That just doesn't happen by chance on its own. And you'd be exactly right. However, I would like to take thought a step further and say the wrist on which my watch is placed is far more intricate, far more amazing. How foolish then it would be to say that that happened by chance. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. This watch screams, I had a designer. And even louder, my wrist, along with the rest of creation, screams, I have a designer. And let me tell you about him. Boy, to get out sometimes, you wake up with the cares of the world on your life, don't you? If you're anything like me sometimes. And you just step outside and there's the birds chirping. And you think, oh, listen to them. Haven't a care in the world. But, you know, I like that little poem. Said the robin to the sparrow, I would really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, well, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father, such as cares for you and me. The truth is we do have a heavenly Father. But we failed to take that time to enjoy Him. Even in the model prayer, those opening words, Our Father. Amen. Our Father. Matthew 10, 29 through 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Boy, the devil knows how to get us to fret. He comes along and says, you better step out. You better make things happen. He gets us worried. He gets us anxious. He says, if you don't make it happen, good things are not coming. You make it happen or it won't happen. Oh, and it's tough. It's tough to slow down and say, no, I'm not stepping ahead of God's will. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to wait because I have a Heavenly Father. The birds remind me that they have a Heavenly Father, and so do I, and He cares more about me than He does them. I have a Heavenly Father who loves me very much. I will trust Him and wait on His leading. What was he doing as he waited on God? He was meditating. Where was he doing it? In the field. And lastly, when? When was he doing it? They're at eventide. Earlier we said in Joshua 1:8, you shall meditate in God's word day and night. And Psalm 1 reminds us, right? In his law doth he meditate day and night. Here he is meditating in the evening. Here at the close of the day, he's tucking away the day in his mind. He's putting the day to rest. He's tucking everything away as the day is closing. Ah! The season of sunset as it draws its veil over the day. The glory of the setting sun excites our wonder, and the solemnity of approaching night awakens our awe. Last night there was Mr. Leslie trucking, you know, power walking around the lake. And I had kind of thought, I'm going to go home and get one of my kids and take a walk around the lake and just fellowship. Ah, the Olsons like to walk. And they do a lot of good fellowshipping done as they walk the lake. And I thought, I'm going to drive home, get one of my kids, and walk the lake, and we're going to talk. And I saw Mr. Leslie, and I did that instead. So I pulled down and saw him walking. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk with him. So I pulled over real quickly and then caught up to him. Boy, he was trucking right along. So we're walking, and we're talking, and the fellowship was really quite the blessing. But you know what? As good as that was, Can I make a recommendation? Every evening, try to pull over the car of your life and jump out and take a lap with Jesus every single evening and just enjoy him. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Take some time and ponder all that he is. Sometimes we spend too much of our time focused on all that I'm not. I would recommend to spend more time thinking about all that he is instead. There in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, even in the New Testament, we're reminded not to let the devil. Boy, you think of a shepherd leads, doesn't he? A shepherd is out in front of the sheep, and he leads. Other animals need to be driven, maybe with a cattle prod or some driven from the back. Our shepherd, he leads from out in front. Aren't you glad? The devil drives from behind. He's got his prod and he tries to drive. And he gets us moving out of fear and moving out of anxiousness and moving out of worry and making all those wrong decisions. He turns us into schemers and he turns us into faithless people. If I don't make it happen, it isn't going to happen. Oh, the devil drives us. But God reminds us in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, these are the things to meditate on, right? These are the things to fill your mind with. True and honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You can trust God. Don't let the devil drive you with his prod. Don't let him drive you to anxiety and drive you to rushing ahead of what God wants. Get your eyes on the shepherd and follow him. Ponder who he is, because whatsoever things are true, our shepherd, that's true. Whatsoever things are honest, our shepherd. Fill your mind with him and his word. Whatsoever things are just, boy, that's my shepherd. Whatsoever things are pure, boy, that's my shepherd. Whatsoever things are lovely, he is altogether lovely. Whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. There was Isaac. 61 blessed verses of God working behind the scenes. Well, he just waited. There was Jacob, the schemer. I got to make it happen. I got to make it happen. Oh, it didn't work out very well for him at all. Oh, friend, will you learn from Isaac's example and wait on God? You can trust him.